Okay, so have you ever noticed conflict?
Like all the time.
Yeah, like it's kind of unavoidable.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like it's just there.
Yeah, exactly. It always seems to pop up at the worst times. But that's actually what we're diving into today, like how to not just survive conflict, but how to actually deal with it well.
Right, like not just get through it, but make something good out of it.
Exactly. And so that's where mediation comes in.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, so we're really going deep into this. We're using this source called Pasted Text.
Okay.
And it's got so much good stuff about not just the like legal side of mediation, but also all the psychology behind it.
Like how to actually make it work, yeah.
Yeah. Like why do some mediations go so well and others just feel impossible?
Right, yeah.
So that's what we're going to try to figure out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so to kick things off, the source starts by talking about this difference between a dispute and a conflict. And I think a lot of times we just use those words as like the same thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But they actually mean different things.
Right. Yeah, they do.
So what do you think is like the main difference there?
Well, it seems like a dispute is more about a specific thing.
Right, yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
let's say you ding someone's car. That's a dispute. It's about that one event.
Okay, I'm with you.
But a conflict is more, I don't know, ongoing.
Okay, yeah.
Like maybe it's an issue with a coworker where you just never see eye to eye. It's
Yeah.
not just one thing. It's like a pattern.
Yeah. So it's more about the relationship. It's like with a dispute, you might just need to figure out who pays for the damage, right?
Right. Yeah.
But with a conflict, it's like you need to figure out how to work together or live together or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And so why do you think that difference is so important? Why does the source start with that?
Well, it seems like it changes how you approach the whole thing.
Right.
Because if it's just a dispute about a thing, then you're really just trying to get
Oh.
that thing fixed.
Okay. Yeah.
But if it's a conflict with a person, well, then you probably want to fix the relationship too.
Exactly. It's like, what are you hoping to get out of this whole mediation thing? Are you just trying to settle the issue? Or are you hoping to actually repair the relationship too?
Right. And maybe sometimes you just want to settle the issue,
Yeah, sometimes.
but sometimes, you know, it's with someone you have to keep dealing with.
Yeah, you can't just walk away.
And so thinking about that ahead of time could really change
Yeah.
how you approach the whole thing.
Yeah, for sure. It's like you said, figuring out what you're trying to get out of it.
Right. What's your goal here?
Yeah. And then after talking about disputes versus conflicts, the source goes into interests versus positions.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, that's another tricky one.
It is. Like, what even is the difference there?
Okay, well, the source uses this example.
Yeah.
Imagine you're trying to pick a movie with a group, right?
Okay.
Everyone keeps saying their favorite movie, like, let's watch this one. No, let's watch that one. So
No.
those are their positions.
Okay, so positions are like the specific things you're arguing for.
Right,
Yeah.
exactly. But if you dig a little deeper, you might find that really everyone just wants a comedy.
Right. That's what they're hoping to get out of the movie night.
Exactly. So the
Yeah.
shared interest is comedy, even though their positions are all these different movies.
So it's like the positions are what you want, but the interests are WH why you want it.
Yes, exactly. And so thinking about your interests can help you be more flexible.
Okay, so instead of just fighting over this specific movie, you try to find one that everyone will actually enjoy.
Right, because maybe there's another comedy out there that no one's even thought of yet, but it would be perfect.
Yeah, it's like you're opening up more possibilities.
Yeah. And that's what's so cool about focusing on interests.
And how does that relate back to mediation?
Well, if you can figure out what the other person's interests are, then you can start to brainstorm solutions that actually work for both of you.
Instead of just butting heads over your different positions.
Exactly. It's like you're not trying to win an argument. You're trying to solve a problem together.
I like that. So it's like step one is figure out if it's a dispute or a conflict.
Right.
And then step two is figure out what everyone's interests are, not just their positions.
Yeah, exactly. It's like laying the groundwork for a good conversation.
Okay, so then what comes next?
Well, the source really emphasizes that preparation is key.
Oh, yeah, they talk about that a lot.
Yeah, like you have to do your homework before you even walk into the room.
Yeah, but what kind of homework?
Well, for starters, you need to know your own stuff. Like, what are your goals?
Right, like what are you hoping to get out of this?
Exactly. And what are your non-negotiables?
Like those things you absolutely can't budge on.
Right. And then what are you willing to be flexible about?
Okay, so it's like knowing where you stand and what's important to you.
Yeah. But it's not enough to just know your own stuff.
Okay.
You also have to try to understand the other side's perspective.
Ooh, yeah, that seems harder.
It can be.
Yeah.
But the source talks about thinking of yourself as a detective.
Like gathering clues about the other person.
Yeah. Like, what do you already know about them?
Okay.
What are they likely to want out of this?
Okay.
And what might their non-negotiables be?
So it's like trying to anticipate what they're going to say before they even say it.
Yeah. Because if you can kind of get inside their head a little bit, then you could start to think about how to approach the conversation.
So you're not just reacting, you're being proactive.
Exactly. And the source gives this really interesting example. They talk about considering options without commitment.
What does that mean?
It means that even if the other person suggests something that seems totally crazy at first,
okay,
don't just shoot it down immediately.
Okay, so hear them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take some time to actually think about it. Because you never know. Maybe there's a nugget of something good in there.
Or maybe it'll spark a completely different idea that actually works for everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So don't be so quick to dismiss things.
Okay, so don't be close-minded.
Right. Be open to possibilities. Yeah. So to recap, we've got disputes versus conflicts, interests versus positions, and the importance of preparation.
This is a lot to think about already.
It is. But there's one more thing we have to talk about before we move on.
Okay, what's that?
Emotions.
Yeah.
Because let's be real. Conflict is almost always emotional.
Yeah, totally.
It's not just about logic and reason.
Yeah.
It's about how we feel.
Totally.
And so we can't just ignore that.
Oh, I know. Sometimes it feels like the emotions are about to take over the whole thing. Like, how do we deal with that?
Well, that's exactly what we'll get into next time.
Okay, so stay tuned. We're just getting started.
Okay, so we left off talking about emotions.
Yeah.
And how those can kind of make or break a mediation.
Yeah, it feels like emotions can just take over sometimes.
Right. And the source really emphasizes that you can't just ignore them.
Yeah, pretending they're not there doesn't usually work so well.
No, not at all. Like trying to have a rational conversation when you're feeling super angry or hurt.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
Right. It's like you need to acknowledge those emotions somehow.
Exactly. And the source talks about the importance of self-awareness.
So like being aware of how you're feeling.
Yeah. And also being aware of how the other person is feeling.
Oh, right. That's important, too. Like, sometimes I get so caught up in my own feelings that I forget to think about what the other person might be going through.
It's so easy to do.
Yeah.
But that empathy piece is so crucial in mediation.
Yeah, because if you can understand why someone is acting the way they are.
Right.
It can help you be more patient and understanding.
Exactly. And it can help you find solutions that address everyone's needs.
Okay, so we're being self-aware. We're trying to understand the other person's perspective. But what about when those emotions just feel overwhelming, like you're about to explode?
That's when it's really important to have some strategies for managing those feelings.
Like what kind of strategies?
Well, the source gives a few examples. Like yeah. Sometimes it helps to just take a break.
Oh, yeah. Walk away for a minute. Cool down.
Exactly. Just step out of the room, take some deep breaths, and come back when you're feeling a bit more centered.
Okay, yeah. Sometimes I just need a minute to collect myself.
We all do.
Yeah.
And another helpful strategy is to use I statements.
Ooh, I've heard of those. Like, instead of saying you're being so unreasonable, you say, I'm feeling frustrated because...
Exactly. It's a way to express your feelings without attacking the other person.
It's like you're taking ownership of your emotions.
Right. And it can help to de-escalate the situation.
Because when you point the finger at the other person, it just makes them defensive.
Exactly. And then the whole thing can spiral out of control.
So I statements. Got it. What else? What are some other strategies for managing emotions?
Well, sometimes it just comes down to being mindful of your body language.
Oh, right. Like how you're sitting, your facial expressions, all that.
Yeah. Because even if you're trying to stay calm, your body language can betray you.
Totally. Like if you're sitting there with your arms crossed and a scowl on your face.
Right. It's going to send the message that you're closed off and not really listening.
So even if you're saying all the right words.
Exactly. Your body language can undermine the whole thing.
So be mindful of your nonverbal cues.
Yeah. It's all part of being a good communicator.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've talked about managing our own emotions. But what about the other person's emotions? Like, what if they're the ones who are about to lose it?
Well, that's when it's really important to be a good listener.
Like, actually listen to what they're saying.
Yeah. And not just the words they're using, but also their tone of voice
yeah.
and their body language.
It's like you're trying to understand what's going on beneath the surface.
Exactly. Because sometimes people's words don't always match their feelings.
Right. Like they might say they're fine, but their body language is screaming that they're upset.
Exactly. So it's important to pay attention to those inconsistencies.
And then what? Like, what do you do if you can tell that someone is really upset, even if they're not saying it outright?
Well, one thing you can do is just acknowledge their feelings.
Like say, hey, I can tell that you're feeling frustrated.
Exactly. Just naming the emotion can sometimes be enough to de-escalate the situation.
Because it shows that you're paying attention and that you care.
Right. And it can help the other person feel heard and understood.
Okay, so acknowledge their feelings. What else?
Well, another thing you can do is just give them space to vent.
It's like let them get it all out.
Yeah. Sometimes people just need to blow off some steam.
And then once they've had a chance to express themselves, they might be more open to having a productive conversation.
Exactly. But it's important to listen without judgment.
Oh, yeah. That's hard sometimes.
It is. But the source emphasizes that judgment just creates more distance and defensiveness.
Right. It shuts down the conversation.
Exactly. So try to listen with an open mind and a compassionate heart.
Okay, so we're managing our own emotions. We're being empathetic listeners. What else is important when it comes to communication in mediation?
Well, the source talks about the importance of clear and direct communication.
Like, say what you mean what you say.
Yeah. No beating around the bush.
Okay, so be straightforward.
Right. And use language that everyone understands.
No jargon.
Exactly. And be specific about what you want.
Don't make the other person guess.
Right. Because assumptions can lead to misunderstandings.
Okay, so clear, direct, and specific communication. Got it.
And one more thing. The source also talks about the importance of being respectful.
Oh, yeah. That seems pretty basic, but it's easy to forget when things get heated.
It is.
Yeah.
But even if you disagree with someone, you can still treat them with respect.
Right. Like you can disagree without being disagreeable.
Exactly. Because when you attack the person, you're just making the conflict worse.
It's like you're pouring gasoline on the fire.
Right. So stay focused on the issue, not the person.
Okay. This is all really helpful. I'm feeling like I'm starting to get a handle on this whole communication thing.
That's great. And there's one more piece of the mediation puzzle that we need to talk about.
Okay. What's that?
The role of the mediator. They play a pretty crucial part in the whole process.
Oh, yeah. The mediator. It's like they're the referee of the whole thing, right?
Kind of. But they're more than just a referee. They're also like a guide or a facilitator.
Okay, so what makes a good mediator? What should we be looking for? So we were talking about what makes a good mediator. It seems like a pretty important role.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The source really emphasizes that the mediator can kind of make or break the whole thing.
So what are some of the qualities that we should be looking for? What makes a good mediator stand out?
Well, first and foremost, they have to be neutral. Like they can't be taking sides or favoring one person over the other.
Right, so they have to be impartial?
Exactly. It's like they're the Switzerland of mediation.
Okay, I like that. Totally neutral territory.
Yeah, because if the mediator isn't neutral, then it's just going to create more distrust and conflict.
Right, it'll undermine the whole process.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So neutrality is like the foundation. But they also need some other skills.
Okay, like what?
Well, they have to be good at communication. Like really good at listening and understanding different perspectives.
So they can kind of see where everyone is coming from.
Yeah, and they also have to be good at conflict resolution. Like knowing how to de-escalate things when they get heated.
Right, because mediation can get pretty intense sometimes.
It can. And so the mediator needs to be able to kind of keep everyone calm and focused.
So they're like the captain of the ship navigating through stormy waters.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. They're keeping everyone on course and making sure that the conversation stays productive.
Okay, so we've talked about the mediator, but what about the actual process of mediation? Like, how does that usually work?
Well, it can vary depending on the situation, but generally speaking, the mediator will start by meeting with each party separately.
Kind of like a one-on-one.
Yeah, just to kind of get a sense of what the issues are and what each person is hoping to achieve.
Okay, so it's like laying the groundwork.
Exactly. And then once the mediator has a good understanding of everyone's perspective, they'll bring everyone together for a joint session.
Okay, and then what happens?
Well, the mediator will usually facilitate the conversation, helping everyone to communicate effectively and to stay focused on finding solutions.
So they're like the referee, making sure that everyone plays fair.
Yeah. But they're also more than just a referee. They're also kind of like a coach.
Okay, so they're helping each side to develop their arguments and to present their case in the best possible light.
Yeah, but it's not really about winning an argument in mediation.
Okay, right. It's about finding a solution that works for everyone.
Exactly. So the mediator might help people to brainstorm ideas or to see things from a different perspective.
So they're like a neutral third party who can help people to bridge the gap between their different viewpoints.
Yeah. And if the parties are able to reach an agreement, the mediator will usually help them to write it up in a formal document.
So it's like a contract.
Yeah. It outlines the terms of the agreement and makes sure that everyone is clear on what they've agreed to.
Okay, that makes sense. So what happens if the parties can't reach an agreement?
Well, that's definitely a possibility. Not all mediations are successful. But even if the mediation doesn't result in a formal agreement, it can still be helpful.
How so?
Well, it can help people to understand each other's perspectives better.
Okay.
And it can also help them to identify the areas where they disagree.
So even if they don't walk away with a signed agreement, they might still walk away with a better understanding of the situation.
Exactly. And that can be a really valuable step in the process of resolving a conflict.
I like that. So it's not always about finding a perfect solution. Sometimes it's just about moving the conversation forward.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I find so powerful about mediation.
Yeah, it's like it opens up the possibility of dialogue and understanding, even in situations where it seems like there's no common ground.
Totally. And that's why I think this deep dive into pasted text has been so valuable.
I agree. We've learned so much about the psychology of conflict, the importance of communication, and the role of the mediator.
And we've also learned about the power of collaboration and the possibility of finding win-win solutions.
Yeah. It's like we've been given a whole new toolkit for navigating conflict in our own lives.
And hopefully that toolkit will help us to transform those conflicts into opportunities for growth and understanding.
Absolutely. So thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the art of mediation.
And remember, even though conflict is a part of life, it doesn't have to control our lives.
With the right approach, we can turn those conflicts into something positive.
Exactly. And until next time, keep those conversations flowing and keep striving for those win-win solutions.